Hey, wonderful people. This is Marianne, and welcome to my podcast. So today, I would like to talk about a topic that I hold very dearly to my heart because it's something I've had to walk. It's a topic I've had to walk through. I've had to live it out myself before I could even speak about it. And before I go to, you know, naming and saying today we're going to talk about this topic and calling it a name, I'd like to go back to the Bible. Remember, we always go back to the Bible and we look because the Bible is actually the basis of our faith. It is the basis of our ideologies. It is the basis of everything we think about, we believe in, and we do. So, let me take you through the Bible. And then I'll introduce the topic as we go along. Now, there is a man that was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. You know, he was in the desert. And then he sees a burning bush. What intrigues him is not the burning bush because, you know, it's a desert. And like many of you would know, in a desert, it's pretty normal for a bush to burn. Why? The temperatures are very high. What intrigued this man was the fact that the bush, though burning, was not getting consumed. And curiosity got the better of him and he said, hey, let me go check this out. And he goes, gets to the burning bush, and while there, you know, he hears a voice from heaven and he's told the first thing, remove your shoes because the place you're standing on is holy. And then, you know, after he removes the shoes and he's basically given his marching orders. He's told, hey, listen, this is what I need you to do. That's God telling him. And, you know, he receives instructions and he's told what to do. And you guessed right. The man is Moses. The man is Moses. And Moses receives his instructions. But what's his first reaction? When God tells him, I've chosen you and I need you to go back to Egypt. And I'll use you to take my children from slavery, from captivity into the promised land or into liberty, into freedom. The first thing that Moses does is say, hey, God, it's amazing that you want to use me, but you need to know that I'm a stammerer. I can't talk. So yeah, it's been great, but look for someone else, you know. And God says, listen, Moses, I already knew you'd do that. I already knew you'd bring up that whole I'm a stammerer thing. So I've prepared your brother Aaron to come and be your mouthpiece. And so what other excuse could Moses possibly raise? None other. He could not tell God, oh no, I don't like Egyptians. No, he couldn't say that. So eventually we read in the Bible and we know that, you know, from reading the Bible that he eventually goes back to Egypt together with Aaron. And well, he delivers the children of Israel. He takes them through to the promised land. That's the first guy. The second guy I'd like to talk about is Gideon. So now Gideon, many years later, after the children of Israel have you know, gotten to Canaan, and then they go to a point where Moses dies, Joshua dies, and now these people, they want to live every man according to what they think is right or wrong, you know. They don't have a prophet, they don't have a priest, they don't have a king. Everybody does what they think is right, and God would raise judges in those days. And so there was this time that the children of Israel were under the oppression of the Midianites. And it was so bad. The oppression was so bad that the Midianites would come and take their harvest. The Midianites would basically take everything the children of Israel had. And they would leave them impoverished. impoverished. Oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, people. I meant, the word is perfect in my head. It just didn't come out nicely. I'm sorry. Let me use a synonym. Okay, let me use a synonym. They would leave the children of of Israel in a deplorable condition. And when we are introduced to Gideon, he's threshing wheat in a wine press. He's hiding in a cave, this guy, threshing wheat so that the Midianites don't take it from them. And then, you know, we have the angel of God who appears to him and calls him, you know, with a greeting is, "Hey, mighty man of valor." And Gideon is like, "Yeah, who did you just talk about? Who is this mighty man of valor that you're talking about?" And he goes on now to tell the angel, "You know what? I think you're really confused. In case you didn't know, I'm an Israelite, and we are under oppression of the Midianites, the ones you're saying that I should go fight. Number two, I am my tribe is the least in the tribes of Israel. Like, maybe you could have thought of going to Judah, Reuben. I mean, those are the people that are well known, maybe Issachar and all that. But you came to Benjamin. We are the last born. We are the least. No, let me take it further, angel. In my father's house is the least. And me, this guy that's talking to you, I am the least in my father's house. So you actually picked the wrong person, because I'm the least of the least of the very least. But then what conversation does the angel have with Gideon? He doesn't go like, "Oh yeah, by the way, sorry, I missed that." No, he tells them, "Go in this, you might. You're a mighty man of valor." And he affirms, and he encourages, and he speaks to Gideon. And I chose these two, and I'll come back to another example, because I love Mary, the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And when the angel Gabriel appeared to her and told her, "Hey, you, oh, blessed among all women," you know, the greeting was just something, you know. And she's also surprised by the greeting of the angel. And the angel says, "Hey, you know what? You're going to conceive. You're going to have a baby. And you're going to name your baby Jesus. You know, it means Emmanuel, God together with us." And Mary's like, hey, hold up. What are you talking about? I am not married. How is it possible that I can possibly get pregnant? I'm a virgin. I don't know any man. I've never been with any man. How is it even normal or biologically possible for me, one who's never been with a man, to conceive a child?" And she's told, "The Spirit of God shall come upon you, the power from on high, you know, shall come upon you, and you shall conceive a child." And Mary, after a few more minutes, you know, I mean, she had to bring out her case. But then after a while, she says, "Okay, you know what? Let it be unto me according to your word." Going back to Gideon, he also got to a point where he listened to the angel and he said, "You know what? I'm going to believe this, but I need to put a fleece out there. I need a sign that indeed this is God speaking." And he said, "If I'm going to put this fleece out there, and I want it to have water and everything around it to be dry." And other times he'd say, "Let it be dry and everything else around it to be wet." He needed the confidence to know, or to walk in, you know, he needed to be confident that God had called him, that God had indeed spoken and sent the angel to him. And we look at these three case scenarios. This became some of the greatest patriarchs of faith that we've read about. But then look at it. It all began from that point of God says, and you go like, no, I don't think I can. I'm not sure. I am pretty 100% positive that this is not for me. You know? And it gets to it gets me thinking, how many times do we disqualify ourselves because we don't feel as though we're good enough? I said this because I have a personal experience, my own personal experience of, you know, hearing the voice of God and hearing Him speak to me and immediately thinking, no, seriously, it can be, it cannot be. And as I was thinking, you know, we've gone through the Christmas season, the season of joy and so much thanksgiving, the season where, you know, I mean, we've spoken about, wow, to us a child is born, and for us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And we've gone through this season, and we've been excited about it, we've overindulged. But really, come to think about it, why was He born? He was born so that He might destroy all the works of the enemy. And He was born to redeem us, and that's through redemption of man to God. And He did that. He never remained a child. Jesus never remained a child. He grew. He became the Savior of the world. And He sits as a lion. You know, He's sitting in the heavenly places at the right hand of God the Father. He has victory. He has overcome. And you see, He calls us to partner with Him in doing the will of the Father. But many of us hear the call of God, and the first thing we do is disqualify ourselves, and we feel we are not good enough because, some feel they don't have a good education. Others feel like, I still have some ways to go with my life. I'd want to be married first. I'd want to have children first. I'd want to have a stable job first. I'd want to have ABC first. And there are all these many excuses and all these things that people raise and say, this needs to happen before I do that, you know. But that's a deception from the enemy. Because you see, when God calls you, He already knows that you have the potential to be everything that He's called you to be. When He's calling you and when He's asking you to go, He already knows you have the strength, you have the capacity, you have the ability to go. When He's asking you to speak, He knows that you have it in you, that the word that you need to speak is actually in your mouth, it's at your tongue. All you have to do is just, you know, rise in obedience and speak out that which is already put in you. When He's asking you to do the assignment, when He's asking you to cooperate together with Him in ensuring that the kingdom of this earth become the kingdom of our God and of His Christ, He's asking you to do it because He's already empowered you. And think about it. Every time you disqualify yourself, you're in essence trying to say, God, you don't really know what you're talking about. God, you don't understand what you're saying. It's like saying that, you know. It's like saying, God, you don't really know me as much as you think. And yet, He's our Creator. Yet, every one of our days has been written before Him, even before the first day began. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows your capacity. He knows your ability. He knows what you perceive to be your weakness. He knows what you think is your strength. And yet He still calls you. And this is the thing that I'd like to encourage us. Whatever it is that God has called you into, whatever assignment He has called you to do, get in it. Do it boldly. Do it courageously. Do it happily. Do it with joy. There's a phrase that's going around that's really popular. You know, it's been popularized by, people, preachers, you know. And it's, do it afraid. And I know, I understand, and I appreciate the fact that they're coming from that point of, don't give excuses as to why you cannot do something. Like, do it even when you feel scared and afraid. Do it even when you feel unsure about it. It's a nice encouragement, but it's not the truth. Because the truth is, God has not called us to do anything afraid. He's not called us to do anything scared, you know, with our legs shaking in our boots. If anything, God calls us to do things confidently, courageously. Remember that when He called Joshua, The first thing he said is, "Hey Joshua, now my servant Moses is dead. I want you to arise and take these people to the promised land. Be strong, be courageous, be of good courage." That's what he said. And when you go to Gideon, you realize that it was, the message was similar. When you go to Mary, when you go to, you know, to all the other patriarchs, even Abraham and all that, the message was very similar, and it was, do it boldly, do it courageously. And that is a message that I'd like to speak to us today about. You know, that's a message I'd like to leave with us. I'd just like to say this. As we cross over to a new year, as we meditate on what God has done and the things that He's doing in our lives, as we purpose and desire to serve Him, can we do it boldly? Can we do it courageously? Don't do it timidly. God has not called us to be timid. He's not called us to be intimidated. He's not called us to be fearful. The Word of God says He's not given to us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. That's a spirit that's at work within us. The spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. As you can see from that scripture, intimidation, fear has no room. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, do it boldly, do it courageously. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be boldly, and it has to be courageously at the level where you're at. And as I finish, I'd just like to say this. Many of the times we disqualify ourselves and miss out on God's best for our lives, because we are busy trying to figure out, why is God doing this, and why me, and why not this other person? And the more we sit trying to figure this out, the more we begin to walk in doubt, because you realize that you're never really qualified for the things that God has called you into. We're not qualified. We're not. But we don't do them because of our qualifications. We do them because we are walking in obedience to God, knowing that though I might not see the potential that God has put in me right now, but yet as I walk on this path and as I continue to journey on this path, I'll begin to see this from God's perspective. I'll begin to see me from God's eye view. That's the beauty about this, that as you begin to walk, your eyes are opened, your mind is open, and you begin to have the proper understanding, and you begin to see who you really are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the message that I would like to speak today is really about this. Be bold, be courageous. Let your confidence be in God and not in your ability. Don't lean on your own understanding. Just acknowledge God in everything and let Him guide your path. I love you all. I appreciate you. Once more, thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. This is Marianne. May God bless you. Remember that you have been called to do exploits. You've been set apart to do exploits. And go ahead, do these exploits boldly, courageously, joyfully. In Jesus' mighty name, I love you all. Jesus loves you even so much more. Have yourselves a very, very merry new year, prosperous new year. And God bless you. See you at the top. Bye-bye.